This is a production of Cornell University.
Thank you. One of the main things that we need to get back to is Applications that you hire a separate graduate student to to write the outpatient order. And so that's a hard problem to navigate. Is there anything that Cornell can do as an institution to prevent that?
Thank you. I'm glad you asked that question. So several things. One, there is no evidence at this point that there has been anyone from Cornell who discovered that there is a disease action. That said, we are taking care of all of our students to see where they are being burned up. We are looking at athletics. I have to say, in my wildest dreams, I would never have imagined. I have never referred to the mind, but we should check that the people who coach there should be on the team watching. And I will, but that's what I'm saying. I think the question of how do we make the admissions process fair is an incredible one. It is part of our learning and manager, but I want to tell you the reason that. And I said to the faculty center, I'm not sure what we can do about people who are paying for a safety training test. I don't know what we can do about that. But perhaps what we can do for the essays is that we can have every student a test. You know, something that says, I wrote this essay, no one else touched it. And the faculty center goes, what I was thinking. And then last night, I had quite one of the things I'd like to do is I could go to some of the residence halls and ask my faculty that for all those groups. And I raised this thing on the end, and the students were incredibly negative about it. They said, everybody was going to cheat, everybody will cheat, people will flash on it. Or they said, you're not really able to draw a line in the English class. So I'm actually looking, this all brought me to the class, I'm actually looking for good ideas. Something that I just thought is not really a real thought, and maybe an essay of a student writes, you can verify with his or her English teacher and see if the tone or the style is very similar. Is something just an idea that I thought of. I mean, you get 51,000 but let's use it as far as so exactly what it's people like.
So I'm gonna have two questions under G. One's the follow-up to that. You said we can't do anything about SAT. Where is Cornell thinking of potentially eliminating SAT as a requirement for admissions, like University of Chicago? And then my second question is on the external mental health review. What level of faculty involvement will be in that? What level of academic question will be in that? How is our academic scenario at Cornell and University contributing to a mental health crisis on our campus?
So you know, I'm going to sort of talk on the first week of basically again looking at things on the manager through nearly everything related to the everything we're doing. Now, I'll tell you what I used to say, but I'm thinking more about this. I used to say, and you confirmed that the more information you got, the better. So, the moment you were contextualizing the information, the moment you were saying, look, what I know about this person, they're like, okay,
mental health review. So this first part where we're going to have an internal group to identify all these internal kind of cultural campus issues that might be contributing. We just asked folks to co-chair that, and one of the co-chairs is actually someone from the academic colleges. So we're going to be associated with the colleges. And so we did that very intentionally. We want to make sure we're understanding all the policies and different elements that come into play so that when those reviews come to campus, that we can hand over this is what give us some thoughts on this, give us some thoughts on the project. So that's definitely something. So.
I just wondered about your response to the letters that the school doesn't pass them. And the letter you said that the purpose of the dot is not political. And I was just wondering
and then off on one side of the university.
Regarding the recent admissions scandal and your request for solutions to unfair advantages in the admissions process, has there been any discussion about removing or limiting factors such as admissions or legacy in the admissions process?
So the legacy issue is
everyone for coming today, and I'm really glad to hear that diversity and inclusion is one of the priorities. So my question was regarding the new policy you mentioned for, you know, students with identities like LGBTQ and first generation. So it just kind of concerns me that would this kind of a new policy structure actually separate them with the rest of the student body? And what kind of addition you are having for the new policy for every student
this house for okay. So I'll tell you what I did. So look, I always, okay, the One of the most important things you can do at Cornell is take advantage of the diversity that's here. That said, I don't understand what it's like.
Sure, I would just add, and I appreciate you asking the question. Cornell has a practice where you buy fee-based, open-based, under-based, and other business-based type of housing. And I think that stems from the fact that everyone comes to Cornell with different identities, and frankly, at different points in development, as I think it's embracing the benefits and doing some conference to do with them. So having options to be in a space that would allow them to go through that process.
Thank you. Yes, so
Okay. We are here to announce accreditation of our university. So what is accreditation? Accreditation is how the university approves the federal government. We do that by writing a distribution of what's happening about the last 3 years. It's the process of every 8 years now. And so we have a website dedicated to what happens in our public accreditation. We are accredited through a voluntary community called the Ministry of Higher Education. We do this because we have to be having the other alternative to the. So we team up a bunch of other peers to do this. Our next slide. So this is an article that was in the Cornell Chronicle on the Shannon Student Council. Why do we need accreditation? One the large reason to do this is if you don't have accreditation, the university would not be eligible for any kind of federal funds, whether it be a financial aid or grants and that. So it's quite a big emphasis of a lot of people involved in the next slide, please. So there are 7 standards for accreditation, that's in the 7 months of the world. The way this happened is directed, we have to meet 7 different standards. Of varying kinds, but all the way by work. Here are the 7 standards. First, mission and goals of the university. So it's called all kinds of things. Second is ethics and integrity, design and delivery of the student experience, or the support of the student experience. Here is educational effectiveness assessment, how do you assess? 6 is planning the services of institutional improvement, and last is governance and administration. As I said, we are directing this big effort with our working groups for each one of these things, and they're all shared by the names that we see here. So we have an overarching standard meeting, the Red Eye Bottom Office, and the other colleagues. I'd like you to notice that we have representation of things. It is body from the undergraduates, Mr. Campbell. Is we're particularly here, is a member of our steering committee. Every name in yellow on the slide is a background. So the point that I want to address on. What's going to happen? So we are spending this entire year investigating in the research on what's called out in the year. At the end of the year, we're going to submit a big document to the middle states. And then following that, we are going to we will host a site meeting. We have my next slide is we're running out of here. Somebody missed it. It's pretty nice. But the last thing is the timeline. You can see this on our website. We are all looking at the thick things right now. Next week, just about today, from 11 o'clock to noon, the Ministry of Direct will be here on campus. It's a town hall. If you have questions or comments or concerns about the federation, you're welcome to stop by and just to develop a chance to meet with Steve Lee as our representative. That's about it. I can take any questions if you have. I call that a command lecture. All right, thanks, folks. Appreciate your time very much.
Are there any other questions?
we moving into business for the day.
So the total fund for the summer would be $12,600. Okay. So I looked at the application and it's sort of the maximum that someone could get me without Okay, awesome. Okay, so are you looking to fund for the senior center or do you want to?
So this would only be like a fraction of the funding. I know that I do have the sense of the additional $100,000 last year or something. But that could cover for the most. And sometimes it was really $200 to be a professional and see.
This also is not going to be actually to the student of the transcript. So it's going to be down to the best of the past. So it's going to be a very long time. All those in favor? Hi everyone, this is Brian Meeting, off the grounds, and it's some students in the general structure of the chat. It's going to be a chair for the tall same page, just a couple of questions. So, this is going to be the version of the program, and how it is that the applicants will be able to do the same as usual, and we have five committees, which will be the tall same committee, the health and wellness, which is already. As I've seen this before. Student health benefits, which is already also patient care, sexual health and human services. And then there will be co-chairs, staff chairs for health and wellness, health and community, patient care, and sexual health and human services. And there will be two liaisons. One will be the student health services, and one will be the student health benefits. And they will all come together and come to the kind of conversation. So now I'm just going to break down the committee. So kind of bring it together to like develop this. But general idea is that we're creating a central focal point of the this. We're creating a coalition to work with the junction, the kind of administration to make changes and help this campus.
So we're going to be opening in conjunction with SGC. We're going to be addressing the systematic and medical consideration of mental health campus. We're going to be all of the recommendations which we presented to you in the fall. We're also going to address issues within mental health as well as climate issues on campus. And in general, we're doing mental health outreach involving mental health.
And then essentially health and human services, that we would be on addressing the issue that the patients are up to date, contraception access, SCD prescriptions and treatment. For patient care, it's going to be a more diverse community. They'll be focusing area on physical care to have diversity in mental health. I'll also be looking at pharmacy. And I'll be addressing policy issues in certain pharmaceuticals and other supplies. So, my book is to create and that will be using the policy and the ensuring that children should not start to be students with the medical insurance. And then, helping always will be more of a policy program for the student health wellness and safety of our students. And basically, tomorrow, day 7, we'll do a website up. Every subcommittee is responsible for having 8 minutes, having an action plan, that will also turn in 19 goals. They'll be updated accordingly as schools are reached. And as chef here, I'll be working with the GPSA approach here. My general job will be just attend one meetings, check that it wants communication with one another, and I'll be organizing the monthly meetings to come out of our faculty. Any questions?
So when it comes to the level of awareness, is you explain that?
Yes. So there is going to be a huge teamwork in Cornell Health is requiring the SAM 46 voting members. He's in a lot of confusion about. So, right now, much of that research is like you can jump to the meeting at the vote member. A little bit iffy because people don't want to hear a bunch of information about the policy to address, and then you get the next meeting to vote on, which is not really effective. And I think it's a lot more confusion. So, it actually works out well because we'll have to report it about 6 people. That will go from the SA to should that be to be the building set up to participate in that. And also the community is on the community to ensure that any work we do there is not going to be all the chance for them to be the best.
Okay.
I included that in the language, so it was right. And the language is.
And then my last question had to do with the committees for acceptance, for each subcommittees, and
yes. So the idea is that kind of the consensus was that it would be a term of selected offer because the chef wants it. The idea is that any of the jobs you basically understand whether it's a effective member who's contributing a lot. The committees are allowed to invite both the chef and the policy chairs. And in the same way, you're like, basically, you can't be a contributing member, you have to be part of the business semester, going to the region. So, as a chef chair, you're responsible to go to, like, basically, to the whole place in the community, which will be meeting on a weekly basis, being in charge of being facilitated between subcommittee chairs in the health administration. In April, we are researching ways to set up how this thing is going to look like, so I would help to get into that process and help to be in the for what's it? That could be just right on it would be just because monthly is talking monthly, like Shabbat is like once a month. I think the ones are probably more directly in the test market just because it's a presentation on campus, and that could be the most work on. And they are also established that they're already a little bit ahead of the game figuring out what the test.
I think we're going to be
Hello, so Rena has been contacted. Rena, for those who don't know, she has said that she has said we've updated the files in an omnibus style this semester, and so we have decided to go ahead and deal with our government documents that we want to. I have totally kept the communication with the GPSA. If there's any interested members, we're able to find those interested members in some other way. But again, GPSA has their own stuff. They update their bylaws, and so they're better to do their way. If you have a concern about the GPSA updating the bylaws, I just think they're not better than themselves.
Yeah, so additionally, when it comes to this, like at this point, it doesn't look like there's not going to be a finance happening anymore, so that's their problem. So the undergraduates will not be So it's different than we originally thought. So this appointment system committee will be like our kind of percent, so the conversation wants to show that and how to go about this. It works a lot of the committee, but we're just going to talk about functions. Just for quarter of the functions.
Sorry, what? The finance and the SAC that it was unclear to have
these pages or contracts and reflects involves financing. So we just change that to exclude financing and adopt our last classes. Just a minor change on both third page use and they are so we did that definition of academic expenses. We scroll down to 2.1.1 basic requirements. There were certain groups who were arguing that the third officer is not the president. The first officer is the president. And there was a case where we had to come to them because they were arguing about it. So we made it clear that it is only the first. Officer is not the person that states that that person is the president, and that's the person that is signing off on the budget. So, therefore, the signature of the third or fourth officer, regardless of the title, will not be accepted. Okay, this obviously had over 500 budgets, and we want this level of consistency. And again, just to clarify our guidelines and make sure that people are following our directions. If you move on, scroll down to 3.1.6.2, the annual adjustment is here. This one needs a little bit more clarification. So under the current system, under the current guidelines, there is no SAA oversight on how the SAA management system itself. So what actually cap is, how many other cap. Some of that. So that has no oversight, and apparently it's been determined by the SAC on our own without any new rights approval. So this line just means that if at any stage the SAC wants to change the guidelines to the system itself, we have to change the series of 7,000 things like that. Stuff like that, it just goes through the process to the SAC, specifically the president and finance. Through a simple email, and if you guys want to talk about it, please can. If not, just include it. So it's a level of communication that will actually exist in the writing. This did not mean that we're going to discuss what we want to change previously. This means that once the SAC changes to the system, we're going to send it to the president and the Ministry of Finance. And if there are no objections, we pass the you guys would like more clarification and talk about that. Moving on to 3.1.6.5, advancement to a higher tier. We plan on changing the tier system at the end of this semester a little bit, so the new groups will not be automatically went in and got rid of that line, because that really was changing the semester. 5.3 procedures were there. Our hearings were scheduled 10 days after our initial budget adaptation, and our guidelines said 1 week, so that's probably moving down to 7, the version of funds. This is a hot case because I updated the definition of an academic expense, it was no longer needed to clarify the last day process, so that's taken care of. That's a simple fix. Moving on to our categories, one category we touched on was the local events on 8.2.5. We always require proof of event. This says the example can be a group reservation confirmation, advertisement of the event, speaker confirmation, anything that legitimizes that event and proves that event is happening. We always ask for it. It's surprising to me that it wasn't listed in our guidelines, so we went ahead and put that in there. Nothing controversial about that. 8.3.5, the application requirements for a travel event. We just added just a clarification because some people were unaware of how they should do their relationship with that. So we just added, provided by an app, screenshot, Google Maps, screenshot, just for more clarification. Scroll a little bit down, 8.4.2 on eligibility of digital goods. We have, always asked previous semesters for digital goods. Just to be sure the goods are supposed to be good for the last year, that you should question what the plan that you want to see for the digital goods. Because it's close enough for the year. So we asked for that anyways, and we need on-campus to education, just want to make sure that they're not personally. So again, these are things that we always ask for. We're working with guidelines, so just kind of had to put that in there. 8.4.3 under permitted expenses, just for more clarification, we add cycles, the tracking of manuals, and drill trades for state costs. We just added that there just for clarification. So, we just know that we can get that. Good. 8.4.4, first one. This was controversial because people, it was one group, just to give you guys context, there was a group wanting laptop on keyboard coders, right? And they were arguing that because it's sanitation, people are very obvious to sign into events, they wanted to use that. We denied it because it's obviously used for personal use. How are we supposed to know whether they use it? So we changed it to likely or strongly impacted. This was with the appropriation committee and kind of have a session where we talk about how we should do this. So I guess this is like passed by the appropriation committee. But you know, likely or strongly impacted, we're just personal use, not talking about that. So yeah, we really talk about this. Moving on for 8.4.6, the deadline of digital goods. There were groups last semester buying digital goods after the last classes, and that made no sense. We need to find school groups to purchase or use these expenses within that semester. If we did run for a dual good, let's say a drop of 12 box drums, we expect you to use those drums within the semester to give you the money, and groups can submit reverse forms for goods that is purchased after the last classes, which made no sense. So, 8.4.6 just means the deadline of goods coming and pushed forward so that we can make sure that purchasing the goods within a reasonable time. And then I believe that's the case. So, if there's any questions on any of the things that I went over, I would be glad to respond. Is that how long is that? How this goes? Right, so a lot of the changes that we're making this time around is because there were like one or two groups that came in and it was just not clear in the guidelines for everyone to follow. So it's not like none of these are like kind of controversial. I mean, off the top of my head, there's nothing that we were had to be discussed on. I mean, we have one discussion about having we technically do allow that's we added it, and then we were like considering the environmental impact of putting it in a guideline saying everyone can have a disposable intensity, allow every organization to suddenly run past the complexity. Let's just have that taken out so that people would know they can get it committed, but oh, I'm just going to buy 200 plus 40, something like that. I mean, that's
the annual adjustment of tools. So, can you clarify that we're starting to achieve the annual bonus of like every period at the end of the semester and before the start of the fall semester? So, does that imply that I don't know why I put that?
So this was because the appropriation meeting did a lot of some clarification on this. So what normally happens is after this semester, our tiers are divided back in the semester. You get them who are in the same tier that you're following the same semester, which means we can't change the tier, we can't change the organization tier after the fall semester because we're here in the second semester. So the only time the SAS can move organizations around is the tier after the semester. So if the SAFC would like to change the system, it would have to be after the school test, but before we allocate organization into the respective tier. So that line means after the tier, after the school test, if the SAFC wants to change the tier, let's say they don't make a 7 tier, 8 or whatever, that change has to be approved by the SAFC before we start.
Before the
fall. Right, exactly. It's just like if we wanted to do something, apparently, for the past, I don't know how many years, it's just like, at the SAFC, it's
I do have a question. So let's say, literally the day before I start the fall semester, would that be enough time, like, for the implementation?
So the way the SAFC, I would prefer, close organizations into their tiers. It's an Excel. We put all their information, how much money they ask for, how much money they buy, and we use months and numbers if they met our criteria. For example, to move up a tier, you have to have at least 85% of the money they request. And for at least one of them, you have to have at least 90% of the money they share with you in the money. So if you pass all of those tests, we love to do that. So we would have to have all the experiences for that. So I want to say a day before school starts would never happen because we run the numbers like a month in advance.
That's why I'm saying this phrase I think might be confusing and it's kind of loose in that I can literally just work inside something better if you just say like a week, X weeks in advance.
So that's why we have 230 on the last one. So basically, and the reason why we say they can propose changes at any time during this grant and that's the admin semester, but the changes can go to effect. That means you will probably need to change the semester. It's not something that we just suddenly semester. Once we want to change, we will notify the SAA president and the finance study. And by June 30th, no one really, if they don't protect it, you're going to see from the numbers that the organization needs to their tier, and then not only a month or false message. They will be up to you.
I have a follow up question if nobody else is on this.
Yes.
Okay, then I don't have a lot of money.
Okay.
I have a question as to background sustainability. So I'm just wondering if there were any considerations that the SMX might be using that as like use it for like
So funny you ask, one of our friends who is passionate about environmental sustainability ran a meetup and gave me like a plus suggestions. And it was unfortunately it was a little too late, like I had already had this with you guys with the appropriation, so there was nothing that could fix afterwards. If there is time later in the semester for another round, I'd love to sort of like these 4 days, such as you know, limit the amount of paper that you can get, limit the amount of work that you can get, maybe even not allow groups to get the classroom touches, maybe. That is up for discussion. It was just because of the time that it's in the world. So, like, we increase the money over probably as they fund in and like the financial system, and they ask to fund in. And my one of the things I would look up was like, there's like this thing called a dish truck, which is a digital and the actual paper, which is when you have a PX or not.
this, so that we could have that conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's
kind of technical also to do. First on a 19.4 survey, with the problems that the Yang and Greg, was it that they hadn't submitted their budget on time or they hadn't been fully registered?
We all asked us. I believe the other problem was that they did not register. So the board seems to be different. Once you update one officer, you change one officer, every single officer has to be everyone has to do. And they did not know that, so they changed the office. They were released back to the community. They were unregistered by the time. And I know it's controversial. I know we have like 100 or 200 years of variety on the unregistered. It's tough because it's not all, everyone's not able to use. And usually they go to the states and register by. And we deal with so many groups that actually follow the direction. And at some point, we need to draw the line because at this point, we allow everyone to get accepted to multiple groups at a time, but then don't have extension number, their registration status, or something like that. We need to run out of them. And at some point, we need to draw the line. And wherever we put the deadline, we're already going to call it. No matter where the deadline is, it's just needing to be some reason to talk to the past. And in that case, we would want to take it and give it to the as a deadline. And of course, it's going to be like the next semester.
Could you literally be able to have a good class game that you also have an information in like 24 hours?
So right now, our strict deadline is here for the signatures of the advisory committee and the registration. If you miss the documentation, we will do like 10-day. We are doing on some factors. This happens to be something that we send out. Obviously, it's not something that I decided, it's been a decision for like 10 years. And it's something that we need that we should have this suddenly be leading on. Registration status and signature on public sections should usually be done for the school level, and like I said, and that has provided some people are going to be safe. And it's something that we just decided we should be doing. And yeah.
You were really talking about
from my time as an undergraduate, from my time as an undergraduate, We have increased the number of help sessions. And help sessions technically require that information manually. You just tell the police if you want them to come. And I think we have a very, we have a really, really good, I've seen really good attendance rate. That we increased the 2 nights, Tuesday, Wednesday, so the last 2 nights of help sessions. We always say the mandatory for stage 1 and 4, or perhaps our 4th stage off that, because they're, you know, more of the ones who make mistakes, at least some people on the website, and they have a better understanding of the detectors. It is really to this organization to kind of forward to the computer, so I'd like to come on the second one. So we say it's mandatory, they come and get the bag, so, you know, on our side, we look at the platform and have to be setting up what's called office hours. Office hours recently contained in a day where the platform is lost. I changed that list to be from 5 to 7 in the afternoon to actually up to the bottom of the screen. And we saw
better, so on, like, but that way, our drivers are using that vision to
compared to the thing we have back in the system. You won't necessarily have to like that value sign on to get everything on. So yeah, I'm trying to remember about how that other people in the best way to do it. Pretty much from that. I have that list of folders that we can do either that or do this stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I talked a little more about this. For the second one, the video problems, instead of getting the advisor needed, we should make them have a video problem, and the advisor will never decide what to do. I told Terry about it, because I got this pretty strongly against this, that there needs to be some faculty, some advisor, some adult looking at the budget, and making sure that there is some sort of oversight from the adult, and not just students. That are basically forced to look at the budget, and we think that that is needed. So Terry, Daniel, and I are in that we should not just the real problem, but should be the whole signature. As for the first one, moving the deadline, it's controversial because at every single level, at every single for every single person that we need, for every single person that I help, we always tell them, reach out to the provider you're writing at. You have 2 weeks to reach out to them right now. And so they're, aware that you're missing it. We offer so much help to the organization to make sure that they know their stuff. Just because, a lot of groups are like, oh, but we're not staff, oh, we're not here. Well, then you should continue to make sure that you have an appropriate advisor that responds to you. And all of our guidelines, all of our help sessions, and we need all the information to cover. So number one, it's going to be the main system, because all the help is there, all the guidelines are there. Second of all, again, deadlines are deadlines. The extended deadline is some of them. There was an advisor this semester. Literally, there was an advisor literally yelling and saying, oh, the real world, you would be me. The real world, you would, I've been a professor for 10 years, and I know the real world is the real world, you would be me, and just because of this concept, right? Like, deadlines are deadlines, no matter where you put it, you have to keep it. I would be open to making that any other 24-hour extension just to be behind me, because I just looked at the statistics. We had 80, what is it? We had 40 something, we had 48, 48 weeks, 0 money due to your missing orders. We don't know if that's better. But in my memory, I believe it was only about 10 years that was at the fall of the advisor. So it wouldn't really affect too many groups. It's just a handful of advisors that missed the signature. It's just that those groups come to you guys because the advisors are very good. Because it was really starting to fix it in some way. So I would be open to maybe extending the deadline just for the advisor. But my argument would be, I got to make them somehow questions. Oh, I can see, 24-hour deadline, you're gonna see an hour late, and they're gonna get that as a thing. So for me, extension is easy. And as Terry and those here five, I need to say, it's not my
So I'm gonna agree with you when it comes to the So I agree with you regarding the need to have a future when it comes to the extended deadline of the sentiment there. In terms of the marketing of this, it doesn't necessarily have to be extended deadline of the advisor, it might have to be that deadline of your student organizations. So the way that I see this fundamentally is that students are students, and students have been the last night, these forms of that is like practicing these forms is that we're often done in the last couple of minutes, about the day before or the day of. And because of that, we need to commit a really assignment and it's going to be about this. Based on those numbers, but not only is that statistically, students are really busy if we're going to work together, and so you can get that sentence to be put, it's like we have this resiliency, and there's some options to that person, and then that's another assignment that's pretty easy to get in the order. And when it comes to the actual class here, like the values of that order, but if you look at the tool system that you can create that this is it's unlikely that you can advance it if you can get to it at a time. More unlikely if you're actually going to get to that student. For that reason, it makes sense to have an extended level of your advisor. And again, it doesn't have to necessarily be a medical step. You can move forward the deadline of the student to put the boundaries on the pre-discussion. If your advisor is ready to sign, the reality is they can't sign until the budget is submitted, and the budget isn't submitted until the last time. And so, I think we should have a new budget that we have for students, and have a really good budget for the class. We're the same amount
that so I disagree about moving the deadline up. I think that students shouldn't have to get furloughed out of the fact that advisors and faculty members that don't really care about the student organizations don't care. So that's why I'm asking Omar, the person who said that for advisors in half. I don't think that we should be making this process harder on students. I think putting it earlier this semester, I think stresses more people out, especially in the second semester when everyone's coming back. And also in the first semester when people are trying to do recruitment. So that's why I really like Omar's first part of pushing it possibly back a week from the student deadline. I think it would push it for the same purpose. I think that, you know, it allows those students to say, okay, we signed, now you go sign. And I think that prevents a lot of situations. Like I was talking about the one where the faculty advisor said, oh, I totally signed, and then ended up not signing, and then the students were like, we told you you can sign. And so I think by pushing it back, you give the students the ability to say, okay, great, you signed. Here's us signing. This is who you signed. And groups that are proactive will have that extra week. So if you're a proactive group already, contact your advisor the same first day of the semester, you get that extra week. But if you follow a later student organization that doesn't have proactive, you have that week to like that professor, that faculty member, staff member down and see who's during classes, you can really just go to their office. So that's why I like Omar's work.
So, I was just thinking about logistically the essays as an example. First of all, the week extended to the advisor cannot happen because the project should be on Friday at 8 p.m. from the second, third week of school. And the essays you take 6 hours on Monday. Following Monday is over every single 5 minutes submitted. And if we all agree with the idea that we want an advisor to be appropriate or it is submitted and we want an advisor to be capable of that budget, then there is no reason for us to be looking and allocate for a budget that is missing an advisor. So the earliest we give the urge, the maximum deadline we would be able to give advisors would be for the Monday. Because by the time you look at it on Monday, the person is. So logistically, that would be the deadline that the SDS would be able to give. But it will make our jobs very much harder. That's just another thing that comes to the like, our SAS basically has to memorize these 20 pages and know every single line, basically. Not on the right, but giving the advisors an extension, basically moving on the process. And if you want to use it, you can put it on the next time, but it would make it extremely hard for us to go through the next time.
So you say,
yeah, I would say 24 hours is like the maximum extension.
So so in our current system, starting 2 years ago, we took the time that we would be there on the Monday to keep out our exclusive that was submitted late or signed late, so that on Monday we would look at all points. Those 100 groups that were missing to the missing deadline are already in the out because we know that they're going to be able to. And that process we would need by the student before we do. So that makes sense,
right?
But I think that the bigger picture is right, so it was only 4 years that the cost of the only year that we had to be done by the street up in the past. We should still like, maximize the opportunity to all the money. And if that requires you to do others, I think it's in the best to use the kids as a whole to go through that process and then go back and then like, if you could use the process for you to get that reflection, that's not so.
So with that option, obviously I also want to but there are guidelines and system so that you find them for the records, right? And obviously I want to give them the money, that's why I increase all the salaries, offer SAs and liaisons, and really my time is you know, we are trying to get people to help them get them, but to what extent, you know, should we have that sense to be like, oh, we want to give them money, we want to make sure that people are getting money, and you know, with that logic, you're just sitting here doing something. And that's something that
so I was going to question about it. So, again, you didn't know that I left that line. It's like, how you do it?
You go through every single line.
Also, I want to mention that there is like if something changes that happen, I think that it could possibly be changes now. Just to put on that, like, a more than what we could do.
just wanted that the appropriations committee has heard of the basics but we ran the numbers. If everyone asked for the extra, we would have spent $2.1 million. We didn't get that money. Of that, I think on average we spend 75% of the extra. So this semester we had the this year to report last fall combined, we allocated $1.5 million. And again, that is already over what we used to do. So we're already spending the money. And more money getting out is going to be more money that we have. And I express money to my folks who used to be able to do the X. My job is to make sure that people are getting more money. The more money that we get out, the more we need. Because we just don't have the money. And what's scary is that every single year, we're getting out more money. We don't have that money. And by making more money, by making more deadlines, we will be going over our budget. And that is just a really hard fact that I want. And I mean, again, that shouldn't be stopping us from being, that shouldn't stop us from wanting to get out of the money. But at least we really appreciate it.
Yes.
I think how deadlines can naturally lead up or out of the organization every term. But I really have to say I disagree with logic that the more organization that you accept, the more you have to get out. I personally believe that it's better to have more number of organizations and maybe each organization may own the problem compromise and just a little less from SCSC instead of having a natural legal process, increase the funding for the organization. So, as a chair, that allows the logistics of all questions that happen.
So, to respond to that, again, it's a sentiment that I agree with, but something that you can't do.
Is there a floor? You don't have a decision, right? But it's true.
There is no core. There might be a 2-1 review that I'm asking. So we Daniel ran the numbers, and this is fact. From last year, of the money that, okay, so what is it? Like I said, if everyone asked for 100% of the feedback, that would be $2.1 million. Obviously, you're not going to ask for all of that. Obviously, you lose because you can't ask for. That's why we're old, right? But of those $2.1 million that could have been asked for, we were asked for and we paid out $1.5 million last year. And that adds up to 73%, right? 74% of everyone's $2.5 million was getting out. We ran out. Daniel actually, because we were trying to change the system, Daniel actually ran numbers where we decreased the points here. Funding from $7,500 to $5,000. We appropriately decrease every tier after that $1,000. So tier 2 instead of $5,000, whatever. Tier 2 and tier 4 was not $2,500. We ran the numbers, it increased 75%. So we could save 75%. That was still $1.5 million.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that funding the why does funding below the budget, whatever it is, money you receive from the SA, and accepting as many organizations as you can, but including the, like, I'm asking, why do they have to be mutually exclusive? Why can't you be convenient and have more, like, one more organization and still give out funds that doesn't have to be overspent?
So it's basically.
So let's say you have $100, right? And there's two. I guess I'm just going to voice the one that we missed. So, if I just put the one that I think we should have a meeting for advisors, it doesn't necessarily have to be a meeting, but I think that's our time. But I just think that that would just make it a lot easier to see the organizations get funded and have that.
Technically, yes, but again, it's again, I don't see what the entire SAC is, but when the budgets are submitted, you want to use their allocations. Like, we initiate, it's called the initial allocation because we initially allocate everybody's money on that allocation. And then we get the 10 days later, we stop paying this other stuff. So, we need to cover patients, we want to fund 10 days in that. So, like, the initial allocation of the biggest allocation has to be taken out. So my so sorry, that 70% is not up to me, but it is. So I should talk about the 70% that I mentioned is how much money people are asking for. Right? If people are asking for 70%, that's very right. If everyone asks for everything they could ask for, every single person would be able to do it. If everyone chooses to do it, they could ask for $1,000. They would be asking us for $2.1 million. As of right now, people have been asking us 75% of the rate. That's not a number that I have. I am saying, I guess, kind of coming to the if we have more organizations asking more money, or if organizations increase, and if that number, we do have enough, if those companies are coming to ask about more money, you would be able to have more money. That's a fact. You fund them for whatever they
password as long as it calls that we're not submitting this. There is a technical process. If all the data should be, we give them everything that they want as long as it's we cannot suddenly say, oh, we have to do that just because we don't have enough money.
I was just wondering, would it be possible to have access to Thursday and then have access
to the Thursday? Okay, I'm going to have a question.
Yeah,
just to play a couple of times for this, and it's not true so far in the audience. But when it comes to the implementation of this, so would governments be approved by the advisor? That's on the bottom, right? And if they are not approved, what happens to that? Like, if the government has not been approved, how does one affect the money? Like, if the advisor says, can't get the government is not approved, then we would be able to advise the government. So I'd say the government won't be able to do that. There's no need to come to the top level.
You need more than that. You believe all these college students need some sort of other site from an adult. Any adult, aside from the fact, need someone to be able to go where how it's going to be their money. And I think this is very important to ask. I don't think it's something that they're asking them that's like too overboard. I think it's not that hard, and I think it's in place. What was the first thing you said?
Yes.
This semester I sat down with Dale, and I talked to Dale about this. We thought that zero funding loops was to me. Whether it be the president, whether it be the treasurer, whether it be the advisor, we thought that was to me to be a district. So Daniel and I, we have not changed the perspective of let's say how long are after $7,500 they need some advice. What if you say get up to 20%? What if you get 30%? 30% of what you were supposed to get because you need to save the penalty. That's not zero money, but maybe 20% of that, which is still a pretty sizable amount of money. We ran the numbers, it's impossible, we just don't have money here because we are already using money on other special projects. And even that, we have every semester, we are unsure whether or not we can make special projects. Last semester, we did not offer special projects, we have money. This semester, we are offering special projects. I'm just writing the guidelines that we use kind of not money, but 20%. We did the math, and we just don't have money. And that was how we were
reality is there are so many advisors that just aren't involved. I would say, I don't know if
that I've been involved in. But in reality, I'm proud. I think the tech of the world is I'd rather have a better one. And like, it's a good, a little bit of time, but I think so. In terms of research, the point isn't for our guidance to all have that, but it's our guidance that our parents are doing that work. At least you're not like screwing over the condition possible, but they'd rather not like not like, they'd rather not like the condition of the condition is that like, well, you still need to come up with it, they can do that. And then to the other point, where you mentioned more broadly, the idea of that involvement. Well, I mean, I think that with the I think that the fundamental question you're asking is a lot of stuff that, like, the point is that the advisory committee is not to be made, and then a little bit of this question. The point is that everything about the series is not to be and then after that, it's not to be like, the issue is still a thing. If the advisory committee is saying this stuff is bad, and we have to be making it work, then the advisory committee they're not like, okay, I'm going to do some kind of like, they're going to be the organization of the environment and the environment and all of that.
And that is, that issue is this is like really not done enough, and we need to talk about this outside of this.
All those who
okay, so there's actually never a formal motion to introduce the amendments. So,
is there any sense that you pass this?
This is the business question that we're about to ask. That's an
interesting
I don't think we can talk about
it. No, okay. Is this going to be passes? All those in favor, take away. All those against?
Mark, don't use my question.
All those abstaining, as far as we can see,
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.